You may be surprised at our scripture for today, or think that perhaps we're not going to begin about Christmas, but today we are going to be talking about Christmas from a fall thump. From all books, the book of Leviticus. And Leviticus is probably one of those books that you don't read regularly. I don't know very many people that go, "Oh, let's just read through Leviticus today." And sadly, we do not do so. Some of it may seem dry to us because throughout it, God gives very specific instructions to His people Israel about very common things. And we go, "Oh, why does it just go on and on?" But you know, God has the right to go on and on. And we have the obligation to listen to God when He goes on and on. But today, I do want to start a series for Christmas about pictures of Jesus' birth in the Old Testament. Pictures about the coming of Christ in the Old Testament. And we're going to look through at prophecies and pictures painted in the Old Testament about Jesus and what He was born to be. And today we come to one that seldom is talked about. Often, and Leviticus 16 is about the Day of Atonement. It's about Passover. It's about the time when we often think of the sacrifice of the Lamb. But today we're going to talk about something else that happened that many people don't even know about. And so as we begin in Leviticus chapter 16 with let's look first at verse 6, and then we're going to jump down and go to verse 15. God has been saying how to prepare for the Day of Atonement, and we know that Jesus is born to be the Passover Lamb, and next week we're going to be talking about Jesus the Lamb. But that does not complete the picture of who Jesus is. Notice what it says, Aaron, Leviticus 16:6, is to offer the bull for his own sin offering, to make atonement for himself and his household. Then he is to take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the entrance to the tent of meeting. He is to cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the goat whose lot falls to the Lord and sacrifice it for a sin offering. But the goat chosen by lot as the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to be used for making atonement by sending it into the desert as the scapegoat. Verse 15. He shall then slaughter the goat for the sin offering for the people and take its blood behind the curtain. And with it, as he did with the bull's blood, he shall sprinkle it on the atonement cover and in front of it. In this way he will make atonement for the most holy place because of the uncleanness and rebellion of the Israelites, whatever their sins have been. He is to do the same for the tent of meeting, which is among them in the midst of their uncleanness. No one is to be in the tent of meeting from the time Aaron goes in to make atonement in the holy place until he comes out, having made atonement for himself, his household, and for the whole community of Israel. Then he shall come out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it. And he shall take some of the bull's blood and some of the goat's blood and put it on the horns of the altar. He will sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger seven times to cleanse it and consecrate it from the uncleanness of the Israelites. And when Aaron has finished making atonement for the most holy place, the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall bring forward the live goat. He is to lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the wickedness and rebellion of the Israelites, all of their sins, and put them on the goat's head. And he is to send the goat away into the desert, in the care of a man appointed for the task. And the goat will carry on itself all their sins to a solitary place. And the man shall release it in the desert. We often talk about the Passover lamb, the shedding of blood, the sacrifice upon the altar. But very seldom do we talk about the scapegoat. That God says we are to pick a live goat, Israel was. And they were to cast lots between the two. One was to die, one was to live, and it was to be taken out in the wilderness and released alone in the wild to carry the sins of the nation. And you know, the fact is, neither picture is enough to picture Christ, because He is both. He is both the Lamb that was slain, but He is also the scapegoat. And today, I want to talk about how He was predicted as the scapegoat. He who would carry the sins. Do you notice what it says? Verse 22, the goat will carry on itself all their sins to a solitary place. Have you ever wondered why it was that Jesus went so often to a solitary place? Why it was that Jesus so often went to the desert alone? Just think through just a handful of examples. In Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, Matthew 4, 1, it talks about Jesus is just going to begin His ministry. He is going to start to do the will of His Father. He has been preparing for 30-some years to be a person that will be the sacrifice for humanity. But before He begins His ministry, He goes out into the desert alone for 40 days and 40 nights. And there, He fights with sin and is tempted of the devil. Luke tells us in Luke chapter 6, verse 12, Luke chapter 6, verse 12, that before Jesus appointed the apostles, Luke 6, 12, and then on through, it says He went alone into the wilderness and prayed all night long. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 13, we read some interesting words. Jesus is about to show that He is the Moses, the one that is greater than Moses. And we're going to talk about that in a little while throughout this series. But in Matthew 13, He is going to do as God did in the Old Testament. He is going to provide supernatural food, manna. And of course He says, I am the manna from heaven. But notice in Matthew chapter 14, verse 13, Matthew 14, verse 13. Notice what it says. Matthew 14, verse 13. It says, when Jesus heard about what had happened, He withdrew by boat privately a solitary place. Jesus was continually in solitary places. He was preparing Himself to be that scapegoat that would be sent out alone, carrying our sin. The Bible is very clear that He is not only the sacrifice, but He is the scapegoat. That familiar passage, so often read and written into song, lo, how a rose air blooming. The songwriter wrote from Isaiah 53. But notice what Isaiah 53 predicts about this Messiah being the scapegoat. We often talk about Jesus dying for our sins, but have you ever thought about the fact of Jesus dying carrying your sins as your scapegoat. Having your sins, every one of them, laid upon His head as the high priest took both of His hands and laid it upon that goat's head and put all the sins and repeated all the vileness and all the filthiness and all the wickedness of Israel upon that goat's head before it was led out of the camp. In the same way, Jesus was to carry that. Notice Isaiah 53, verse 3. He was despised. You see, the scapegoat was despised. It couldn't live among the people. It had to be led out into the wilderness. He was despised and rejected by man. A man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces. Scapegoat was let out alone, so no one saw it. It was let go alone in the wilderness to wander alone, no one looking upon it. There are few things that are worse for a sheep or a goat than to be alone. They are by nature herd animals. Did anyone see just recently that there was a tragedy in, I think it was New Zealand, 4,000 sheep died. It happened earlier this fall. One sheep jumped over a cliff and every one of the flock followed them. 4,000 sheep just jumped off this cliff to their deaths. Sheep and goats are herd animals. They long for the safety of one another. They long to be together. It's hilarious to be in Israel, and you're driving along in this new Mercedes touring bus, and you're looking out those huge panoramic windows, and you're going up to Jerusalem from the Dead Sea, and it's Jerusalem's 4,000 feet above sea level, and the Dead Sea is almost 3,000 feet below sea level. So you go up, or 2,000 feet, you go up 6,000 feet, and it only takes you about, I don't know, something like 14 or 16 miles. So you are just chugging up this almost straight uphill for a bus. And you're chugging along in the low gears. And you look up, and beside you on both sides of the road are just, I'd call them cliffs. And you see these little paths going like this. And you look at the top of the cliff, and all of a sudden you see something move at the top of the cliff, and over the cliff comes a sheep just bouncing along, boing, 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 boing. Bouncing on that little, that path has got to be this wide. And behind it, another sheep and another sheep and then a couple of goats. And then you see this head bob up. And here comes this guy just leaping over. And a lot of them are my age. I mean, gray hair. And they're bounding down this staff foot, three-legged men. Just right down the side of this cliff and across the cliff on these, and behind them a dozen more sheep and goats just come bounding. They love to be together. But Jesus was let out alone. Do you remember the night of the betrayal? Jesus gathered His disciples together and said, "Pray with me, because I'm sorrowful unto death." But they all fell asleep and left Him alone. He was despised and rejected. We esteemed Him not, like one from whom men hide their faces, the scapegoat. Surely, look at what it says, He took our infirmity and carried. Remember what the scapegoat was to do? He was to carry the sin. The high priest was to lay the sin upon Him. He was to carry the sin. Surely He carried our sorrows. Yet we considered Him stricken by God and smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. There's the cross, the lamb who would be sacrificed. He was crushed for our iniquities. There's the cross, the lamb shedding his blood. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him. Remember, the high priest, Leviticus 16, would lay all the sin on the scapegoat. He would stand there and go, for adultery, for theft, for murder, for the betraying of innocent blood, for hatred, for on and on he would go, reciting the sins and wickedness of the people. Notice what Isaiah 53:6 says. Each one of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Look with me at Isaiah 53:12. Isaiah 53:12. The last end of the verse, it says, for he bore the sin of many. He bore the sin of many. Are you one of those that he is bearing your sin? Has your sin been laid upon this scapegoat? Is Jesus carrying your sin today? What words of sin must you recite over the scapegoat? Look with me at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Peter weaves together both the cross and the scapegoat, both the sheep that would be slaughtered, the lamb to be slain. Notice what it says in 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins. He carried our sins. He took them outside the camp, away from all of us. We were dripping in our own sin, and they were laid on him, and he walked out the door, out the gate, down that Via Dolorosa, and carried our sins out into the countryside, far away. He bore our sins, carried them far away. And that's why when we look at Luke's gospel, at the birth of Jesus, notice where he's born. Notice where he's born. Now, we don't know exactly what animals were there. I remember taking a test your Bible knowledge of Christmas test a while ago. It asked, what animals were present in the stable? And it listed cows and sheep and donkeys and horses and camels. And you were supposed to check off which ones. And the answer is none. It doesn't specify what animals were there. But it does say, look at what it says in Luke chapter 1. I'm sorry, Luke chapter 2, verse 8. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. The angel of the Lord appeared to them. We know the story. Verse 16, so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. Now, there are only certain animals that eat from a manger. Horses eat from a manger. Cows eat from a manger. Sheep eat from a manger. Goats eat from a manger. Dogs don't eat from mangers. Cats don't eat from mangers. There was Jesus born in the place where the sheep and the goats and the cows ate. If you notice at Leviticus 16, the sacrifice that was to be made on the Day of Atonement was a bull and goats and the Passover lamb that was to shed its blood on the day of Passover and coat the things, cows, goats, and sheep. Jesus was born to be the bull that would be sacrificed for personal sin, the lamb that would die for the sins of the world, and we'll talk more about that, but also the goat that would carry your sin and my sin, that it would be laid upon Him. He who was holy and pure, who had never had an impure thought, had never had a bad motive, had never hated, had never lusted, had never been greedy, had never been covetous, had never been rebellious, had never talked back. All of that was laid upon Him. Every time we talk back to our parents was laid upon Jesus, and He carried that. Every time that we've coveted and craved something that doesn't belong to us, so much so that they would trample to death a man in the door of a Walmart. That sin was laid upon Jesus, and He carried it out the gate. It's interesting. I found this interesting. Well, turn with me to Matthew, that where Jesus describes the end of the world. Look at Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Beginning at verse 31. Matthew 25, 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all His angels with Him, Matthew 25, 31. He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. And all the nations will be gathered before Him. And He will separate the people one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep upon His right. He will put the goats on His left. And then it jumps down, verse 41. And then He will say to those on His left, the goats, depart from Me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And I began to think, isn't it tragic that Jesus will have to separate out goats and send them into the devil's fire when He was the goat for them? Jesus was the goat for the goat. Their sins could have been laid upon Him. He would have carried their sins out into that lonely place. Everything that made them goats could have been laid upon God's eternal goat, the scapegoat who came for you and I. There was no need for one person to be called a goat and consigned eternally to hell. There was no reason for even one person to perish as a goat because God's scapegoat provided the way to take all that upon Himself. But there's one more thing that we must say. Because God didn't paint the whole picture when He sent the scapegoat out alone. He left a part untold to be told later on. And that's found in Hebrews. And that's the call to you and I today. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 13. Hebrews 13, 13. Here's the call of God to your life and my life. And this is why the world is content to leave Jesus in the manger, but not allow Him to grow to be the scapegoat that God called Him to be, because His call is not to go alone. Notice what Hebrews 13:13 says, "Let us then." You and I. Let us then go to Him. Are you willing to follow the scapegoat out into the wilderness? Are you willing to have your friends mock you, laugh at you, reject you? Are you willing to go alone? Like the song says, though none go with me, still I will follow. Or do you say, wait, that's too much. Jesus may have borne as the scapegoat alone, but I am not willing to leave the world's flock. I'd rather stay with the goats. But He says, let us then go to Him outside the camp. Are you willing to go outside the world's camp? Do you know when Peter began to get into trouble? Do you know when Peter began to get into trouble? Jesus has been arrested. Peter ran away. But he's still following Jesus afar off. That was his first mistake. He followed Him far off. But his second mistake was he went in and there were fires, and he went into the world's fires and warmed himself around the world's fires. He stood shoulder to shoulder with those who were Christ's enemies. Who stands at your shoulders most of the time? It says, let us then go to Him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace He bore. Are you willing to go outside the camp and bear with the sin bearer, with the scapegoat, the disgrace that He bore? Oh, I want to be a Christian, but I don't want to give up my friends. You know, today the lie has been told so often that people think they can be a Christian and still live like the world. At least when I was coming to Christ, people were honest enough that I understood clearly that if I were to really become a Christian, I would have to give up my friends. They would no longer be my friends. Because if I went out to where Jesus was, they'd laugh at me the way they laughed at Jesus, and many of them did. And I had determined in my heart that I would rather go to hell than have my friends reject me. Until that day on a bus ride back from Harrisburg to Mansfield, when I saw how much my friends would stand up for me. Let me ask you, are you willing to go to Him outside the camp? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 6. 2 Corinthians 6, beginning at verse 17. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Go out to that sin bearer, rejected, mocked, laughed at, despised, face turned away. Choose to go out with the scapegoat in the wilderness. Outside the world's walls and protection, outside all the comforts of this world, outside all the allures and the charms, the neon lights, the parties, the acceptance, the laughter, and the fun that only lasts for a little while. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you to myself. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. You see, God's true scapegoat doesn't just go out to suffer alone in the wilderness. He calls us to join Him. Will you go out to that Christmas scapegoat? That one who, like the goat that He was born in a manger, and God's lot fell upon Him, and the high priest, God Himself, laid His hand upon Him and poured out all the sin of a sinful humanity and sent Him out into the wilderness alone. Will you join Him there? Or will you say, no, can't do that. Got to stay here. Let's bow together. Lord, Jesus was born to be the scapegoat. You said in that great Christmas passage, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. And the Lord, you laid on Him, Jesus, the sins of us all. Lord, you laid upon Him our sins. He bore our sins. He carried them out to the wilderness. But now you've asked us to join Him there, to follow Him, the scapegoat. Lord, I pray that you will bring conviction to every heart that has said, no, I'd rather have my friends. I'd rather have my parties. I'd rather laugh and dance the hours away than go out to the scapegoat and have eternal life. Lord, convict us of the cost of such a horrible thought. In Jesus' name, amen.